We're doing the laws of Nesias Kapayim, and which is in chapter 128. And we're going to do subsection 2. So in subsection 2 it says, Beis, Zor Shenoso Eskapov, if a non-Kohen goes up there and raises his hands, Afilu Ima Kohanim, even if he does it in conjunction with the Kohen, not by himself, Oiver Be'eser, will be violating a positive mitzvah. What?
I had a friend that made a mistake. He didn't know whether he was a Kohen or not.
Alright, so he's violating an Esser because, now, technically speaking, one could say the verses, it's okay for a person to say Yivarech Hashem Vishmerecha, parents bless their children, like Friday night they use the Yivarech Hashem Vishmerecha, but we're talking about in the way of raising your hand like the Kohanim do, that then it would be violating an Esser. Shenemar, because the verse states, "Daber el Aaron v'lbon of Lamer." Speak to Aaron and his sons. It's a direct command for Aaron and his sons, saying, "Koy suvaruchu as bnei Yisrael." So you shall bless the sons of Israel. So it's a specific command for the Kohanim, but v'lo yizorim, but not for those strangers, those who are not Kohanim. V'lav habo miklal esse. A prohibition which is derived from a positive is treated as a positive, which means, in this case, the Kohen, but not an Israelite, or not a Zor. So it's not a Zor, but it's not considered a prohibition, it's considered still to be a positive mitzvah, because it's derived from the positive mitzvah of the Kohen to bless, and not the Zor. So, now, subsection 3.
What's an esser?
What?
An esser. You said it derives from an esser?
Asay. From a positive. From a to do. Subsection 3, Gimel. Kol koyin she'ein boy echod madvorim ma'akvin. If a koyin does not have one of those matters that would prevent him, which means sometimes we're going to learn, she's bar, that will be explained, we're going to learn, some Kohanim cannot go up to Duchan. But if he doesn't have one of these disqualifying conditions that he can't go up, Im le'olo le'duchan, if he did not go up, so he, in other words, he could go up because he qualifies to go up, but he doesn't go up, Afal pi shebitul mitzvus asei achas, even though he violated only one mitzvah, because the Torah says Koyse Baruch Hu, which indicates one mitzvah, Harizeh Ka'ever Begimel. Thank you very much. Harizeh Ka'ever Begimel Asay. It's as if he would be violating three positive commands. Why? Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehak Ol Nivdvarei.
Amen.
Because the pasuk says there are three verses over there. It says Koyse Baruch Hu, so you shall bless. Then it says Yivarech Hashem Yishmenecha Yerushim Avanecha Koyzeh Ibn Israel, and then it says Amor Lahem, I'm sorry, it says Koyzeh Ibn Israel, then it says Amor Lahem, say to them, and then it says V'somu Hashemi, and they shall place my name Al B'nei Yisrael. So these are three, sort of, it's one mitzvah, but it's almost like violating three positives, because there's like three expressions of Hashem saying, you shall bless, you shall say to them, you shall place my name. So it's considered like three. And a Kohen should go up and not violate one, or in this case it'll even be like three. But the violation is only provided that is, if he is in the shul, he's in the synagogue, when the shliach tzibur, the one who leads the services, announces koyhanim, he announces, then he's obligated to go over and do his thing of blessing of nesias kapayim. Or if any other person besides the shliach tzibur, somebody says, why don't you go up to the duchan? Why don't you go up and do nesias kapayim? Amar lo lalu se little yodav, tells him to go up, or he tells him to wash his hands. Because going to tell him to wash his hands is like telling him, get you ready before the duchaning, before he goes up, so he should wash his hands. Shenemar, Because the pasuk says, "Amor lahem." So the Torah says, "Say to them," which means "Mutargaminon kat teimer luhoin." When you tell them. So in other words, if you didn't tell the kohen to go and he didn't go, there's no violation over there. The only violation for the kohen of the Esav for not doing it is if somebody told him to go up, either the Shliach Tzibur announces Kohanim or an individual tells him. If not, if nobody has called him upon him, so he's not obligated at all to raise his hands to do the duchening, only if he wants to. He don't have to. So the kohen doesn't have to bench if he doesn't want to. If he's in the shul, however, and he's been called to bench, or somebody else called him to bench, then he'd be violating if he doesn't bench.
So if he didn't want to, would the Shliach Tzibur do that? Blessing?
No, you talk about if there's no coin available at all. Be like regularly, if there's no coin available, presumably there may be another coin over there. I don't know, but we're talking about his own personal preference. He doesn't want to go up to the to be a coin. He doesn't want.
Really needed one, right?
They only need
four in the show.
What?
If there was four of them, all four have to go.
Yes, up. Each individual has his own mitzvah, unless. Unless he says, unless nobody told him to go up, so then he has his prerogative if he wants to go or not. But if you're asked, but when the Shliach Tzibur announces, that's like asking him.
Oh, okay.
So therefore he has to go. Now, v'hu sha'aka raglov ba'avoy delalus aduchan. Provided that he had moved his feet in avoida, when he says the ritzei, that's the blessing right before you do the Birchas Kohanim, he moved his feet, getting ready to go up to the Duchan is the platform, because they used to have a platform sort of where the Kohanim would stand and they would Duchan from the elevated area. That's called the Duchan. But if he had not yet, he did not move his feet by Avodah, he's standing over there, he did not move his feet, Shuvein Oyla, then he's not going to go up anymore. You have to, we'll see later on more details, you have to move by the time it comes to Avodah. Even if he's in the shul when they announce Kohanim, even if they told him to go up, Kemoshi is Bayer. We'll see later on, as will be explained in a little further on. See in this sif later on. So basically, he has to move from his place by the avodah if he's going to do the duchening. If he didn't move by the avodah, they finish the blessing of the avodah, then he won't duchen anymore if he didn't move. But he says, nevertheless, if he was told before the avodah, he must move his feet by the avodah. In other words, he can't say, I'm not going to move and I'm not going to go. He has to go and move before the avodah. So he should not violate the three positive mitzvahs. So if you haven't moved, you're not going to go up, but you're going to be violating because you were told to go up and you didn't move. If you didn't move by during the bracha of ritzei, then you're not going to go up. That's what we're going to learn. But if they told you to, you should move and you should go up. Otherwise, you'll be violating the three blessings. Now, the only thing what I'm not really getting over here is the Kohen, the way we have it is, he announces the words Kohanim, that's after the bracha of Ritzei already. He announces Kohanim. At that point, either he moved or he didn't move, but he wasn't called. So technically, it seems to me, if they announce Kohanim, like before the bracha, okay, but in this case they announced the Kohanim afterwards, so I think the person is not going to be violating unless somebody in the, if he didn't go up, unless somebody on the side tells him not to go up, or tells him to go up, then he'd be violating, because otherwise, by the time they announce Kohanim, it's already after Ritzei already, it's after the Avodah, so he can't go up anyways. Let's see what he says in the parenthesis. Oh, and that's exactly what he's going to address in the parenthesis. So he says like this, even if nobody told him before Avoida, go up. But he knows that the Shliach Tzibur will announce later on and he will say Kohanim, that is Gamlinim. Tzarichu lakir agla b'avoidom. Then he still is required to move his feet during avoda. Shelo yigraim sheyivutl mitzvasaso shel Torah. So he shouldn't cause that a positive mitzvah of the Torah shall be bottled. So you know you're going to be called, but they didn't call you yet. Later on, when they're going to call you, it's going to be too late. So you're causing for a mitzvah of the Torah to be nullified because you're not going to be available then, and you won't be able to go up then. So you may not be violating directly because nobody told you at this point, but you are definitely causing that it shouldn't be violated because you could have moved and you didn't move, so that will be your own. You're still causing for a mitzvah of Torah to be violated. Sharabichas avoida v'chol atfilo yimidivrei sofrim. Because he says the blessing of avoida, this whole blessing. Where do we come? The whole 18 blessings and the blessing of avoida included, which is one of the amida. It's only from the rabbis. The rabbis instituted to do the davening. But raising the hands and the seas kapayim for the Kohen to do this Kohen, him in a Torah. That's a Torah command. So now this person did not move his feet by Ritzei. So you're going to tell me he can't go up anymore to the Birchas Kohanim. But wait a minute. Why shouldn't he do Birchas Kohanim? The Birchas Kohanim should override, it would seem, the Torah. That's a Torah command. And here the whole thing of saying Ritzei is only a rabbinic command. How could a rabbinic command override a Torah command? Elo. Sheyesh koyach b'chachomim b'yad chachomim la'akir dover tzvay Torah b'shev al tase. The chachomim have the power to even uproot a Torah mitzvah, not by an act, but by shev al tase, by sitting and not doing. Like in this case, they can tell the Kohen, don't go up to the Birchas Kohanim. Or like Shabbos comes out in Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to blow the shofar. The Torah says blow the shofar. The rabbi says no, don't blow the shofar. Well, how could the rabbis override the Torah? But they're overriding the Torah b'shev al tase, which means say sit and don't do. They could. They can't override the Torah by saying to do something against the Torah, but not to do, they could have the power. They said no, if you didn't move your feet by the avodah, don't do Birchas Kohanim. If you had not moved your feet during the blessing of Avodah, which precedes the Birchas Kohanim, you can't do it. Even though now he's called and they tell him go up, he says Kohanim. So he's being called to go up. Okay, so it turns out, so what's the story over here? So technically he has an obligation right now. But he can't do it because the rabbis don't let him. So one should not put himself in a situation where he'll have to listen to the rabbis in order to violate a Torah command because he didn't do what he was supposed to. And therefore, a person should not cause to uproot a Torah matter. So therefore, so what happens now? So every Kohen knows that they're going to call him up. What happens? A Kohen is weak. He doesn't have koyach. He doesn't have the strength to get up there. If you have a Kohen who is weak and he doesn't wish to raise his hands, he can't do it. It's not sufficient for him just to stand in the place and not to move. For the avodah, but he needs to not be in the shul when the shliach tzibur will say kahanim, so they shouldn't call him. And that's the way. But you can't be there and say, well, I can't do it. Yes, you're not going to do it, but then you're causing for the mitzvah because you're putting yourself in a predicament. It's basically you're making the rabbis the bad people then, because they're telling you to violate now because you didn't do it, to violate a Torah command, and you should have done what the right thing. So you should leave the shul so you will not be obligated from the Torah to go ahead and go up.
That would be during the repetition of the Amidah that they
would actually... Now, that applies in subsection 4. What happens, there are several minyanim. Is a Kohen obligated to go to every minyan and do the Birchas Kohanim by every minyan? So he says in subsection 4, V'im olu kvar pamachas b'yom zeh, if he has already gone up one time to Duchen, one time, shuv einu over, afilu emir lalei. He will not be violating the mitzvah, even if somebody tells him go up. He's not going to be violated. Why? Shekvar yotzo yidechir vosim min haTorah. For he's fulfilled his obligation, Torah obligation. Once a day, that's all you're required. Betakonas chachamim shetik nesis kapim b'chol tefilas tzibur. Well, we know that we have the rabbis instituted that you should raise your hands in all the prayers, the community prayers. Not by mincha we had before, but you know the different problems. But generally, we also learned that lachatchila all the prayers have birchas kohanim technically. So how are we going to do that? Well, if you did it once already, you did it by shachris. Who's going to do it by mincha? So says yichayil liskayim mekanim achedim. That can be fulfilled. Let other kohanim do it then. He doesn't have to be the one doing it more than once. And if you want to do the other prayer, let the kohen, let for Musaf, let the kohen do it.
But if there's no other kohen in this three minions cover?
Okay, so that's, he didn't talk yet about that. He didn't talk about that. Over here it seems, from the wording he says, you're right, from the wording that he says here, it would seem, then he would be obligated. Because these people want to be blessed. There's other Jewish people. There's people that may want to be blessed. If he can be fulfilled through others, we're saying he doesn't have a personal responsibility, because the reasoning here is because it can be fulfilled through others. But you're saying in a scenario where there is no others. So it looks like in that situation, he would have to go up again just to make sure that they're blessed. You know, over here, we do have sometimes a problem with a Kohen when it comes Yontif. We only do it in Yontif outside of, we'll see later on, outside of Israel, we don't do it on every day. In Israel, they would do it every day. So they do it by Shachris, and they would do it by Musaf, and they would do it sometimes by Mincha when it's a fast day. But over here, we only do it on Yontif. We do it by Musaf. That's the only time that we do it. We'll see later on. Yeah, you just say like you do every day, which we do every day. Yeah. No. What I'm talking about, therefore, but if there's a Kohen in town, and he should make his point, you know, to come to the shul. If there's no minion, if there's no Kohen there to help them with the Birchas Kohanim, certainly, even if they've done elsewhere, maybe. If he does wish to go up a second time, the Kohen, he can make another bracha. He can make the bracha before he raises his hands. Even if it's the same shul, the same community, the same minyan, that he has already raised his hands in the morning. As for example, by Shachris, he was the Kohen, and now he's the Kohen again for Musaf. So the question is, why is he making a bracha? Since we said, a bracha you're making because you're fulfilling a mitzvah. But we already said that once you've done it one time in the day, you fulfilled your mitzvah already, right? So why should you make another bracha? The Kohen, he doesn't have a mitzvah anymore. The Kohen doesn't have any more a mitzvah because he's already done his mitzvah of the day. Because he already said the bracha the first time when he benched the people. Why should he make another bracha? So he says, so even though he is not on his own, he isn't obligated to raise his hands, he doesn't have to do the blessing again. But nevertheless, the rabbis did institute that there shall be raising of the hands during that prayer. And therefore, he could bench on it, just like on all other takonis and mitzvahs of the rabbis. So it basically becomes a rabbi's mitzvah to, even though it's not his mitzvah, the Torah command is one thing, he fulfills his obligation. But there is still a rabbi's mitzvah for Bichas Kohanim to be said over here. So if he chooses to be part of that mitzvah that the rabbi said, he's doing a mitzvah and he can make the bracha birchas kohanim. Although if there's other kohanim, he doesn't have to do it because he's already done it. But if he's doing it, it's a rabbi's mitzvah. The rabbi said, go ahead, a kohen has to do it. The rabbis didn't say, well, if there's other kohanim that did it already, you already did it, and somebody didn't do it, you don't have the mitzvah, let somebody else. No, the rabbis didn't say that. The rabbis just said, we want to do the Birchas Kohanim during this davening. If you are going to be representing the rabbis by doing the Birchas Kohanim now, then you're going to have to make a bracha. Now, in subsection 5, now we sometimes send away the Kohen because we don't want to give him the Aliyah. Because we want to give the Kohen the Aliyah, and then we want to cheat the Levi out of his Aliyah too. So what do? We send the Kohen out of the shul, right? So, but here, the Kohen doesn't want the Aliyah, or the Kohen doesn't want to go up. In this case, we're not talking about Aliyah. The Kohen doesn't want to go up for the Duchenim. So Kohanim she'enereitzim lalis l'duchen, if they don't want to go up to the platform to do the duchening, v'yoytzim mebeis haknesses, so they leave the shul. Ain't tzorich lishvus chutz lebeis haknesses. You don't have to stay outside of the shul. Elo b'shosh hakoyah shashlich tzim b'koyde kohanim. When he announces kohanim, then you go, you're not there. Same thing by the aliyah. When you make the aliyah, I'm just equating it. When you make the aliyah, you say kohen, oh no kohen here, okay. Call up the Israel, then they can come back in. So kohanim shes kohen kohen b'achar shem mekones, then they can come back in. Sh'av shem beis haknesses. So although they're in shul, sh'shara kohenim nesu kapeim, the other kohanim are raising their hands. They're in the shul here. Nevertheless, ve'heimenu nesu kapeim, and they are not raising their hands. Emikachlum, this doesn't matter. Kim sh'yav shulam lalis. Because they cannot go up now, they can't go up because they weren't there, they weren't called, and now at this point they can't go up. And when they did announce Kohanim, they weren't in shul then, so they couldn't go up. And same thing, like I said, with Aliyah. When you said Kohen, and there's no Kohen, he couldn't go up because he wasn't there. So the only difference is over here, you chase him out.
But you call up a lady if there's no
Aliyah. You don't have to call a lady. You don't have to call a lady. Okay.
How come if there's no way the Kohen gets the first two aliyahs?
I'm sorry?
How is it that when there's no levy, the Kohen gets the first?
Because we can't give it to an, because he gets also the levy's aliyah, because we can't give it to an Israelite, so they shouldn't think that he's a levy then. Then people are going to start thinking, if you get after a Kohen, you give a regular Israelite.
If you don't have a Kohen, then you can go to a Levi, or you can just...
Yeah, if you don't, you can skip a Levi too. You could. Either Levi or skip him.
But wouldn't an Israelite think they're a Levi then, if they're taking the Levi's spot?
That's right. But if he follows a Kohen. But if he doesn't follow a Kohen, then he's whatever. Then you upgrade the Israelite to a Kohen. It's a free upgrade. Now, Mekoma Kohen, Mekoma Kohen, Koyahanim Nagu Silsul. I'm not sure what the word Silsul means over here. He says, the Kohenim conduct themselves Silsul. I'm not sure what it means, the word Silsul. It's an Agam word. Shaloi Likones Ach Yigmarur Hashar Birchas Kohanim. That till the other Kohanim will complete the Birchas Kohanim. He says technically they can go right back in, but the conduct of the Kohanim, that they stay out. If they don't want to do Birchas Kohanim, they're going to stay out. And the reason is because they don't want to make themselves a bad name. Because if they're in shul and they're not going up to the duchening, people start saying, hey, what's wrong with this Kohen over here? Why is he not going up? Must be something wrong. And they might come to say, people will say that they must be blemished. Something is wrong with their priestly, with their kohuna. Dahainu, which would be, what would be a blemish? Like Bnei Gerusha Chalutza. The halacha is that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee. He's not allowed to marry a divorcee. If he marries a divorcee, then he has children with the woman that he married who was a divorcee, those children will be disqualified from the kahuna. They will disqualified from being a Kohen. Or if he marries or chalutza, the same thing would be a woman, he married either a divorced woman or he married a woman that received chalitza. A woman that received chalitza means that her husband, her first husband, died without children, and then she would have to have a Levirate marriage, which is marrying the brother, and the brother didn't want to marry her, gave her chalitza, which she took off the shoe. That's the procedure to herself, which Also, the Kohen is not allowed to marry. He can't marry neither a Gerusha, neither a divorced woman, nor a Chalutza, not somebody who has received Chalitza. So, people will start a rumor on them that the reason they're not going up to the Kohen is because they must come from bad stock. You know, they're coming from parents which are not really, they disqualified their Kohona. Im Yiyu B'Beis HaKnesses, and this is the interesting thing is that, you know, they have sometimes Kohanim, even today, they marry a Gerusha, they fortify their Kohona that way. If they marry a Gerusha, they will fortify their Kohona. And I don't know, to find a rabbi to do, I mean, it's because the Torah says you can't do it. I mean, it's a marriage, the marriage is a marriage, but you can't do it. You can't, it's a prohibition. The Torah says a Kohen is not allowed to marry, not a divorced woman and not a chalutza woman. So, but if they're going to be, imu basically, achayim, akoinim, nesim, kapayim, if they will be in the shul when their brothers are raising their hands, v'hein einam noisim imam, and they will not be doing the birchas kohanim. They will not be benching together with the other ones. So what are people going to say? Ah, oh, probably they're not good kohanim. They're probably blemished. Metamze yoitzim beis hakneset. For this reason, they go. They leave the shul koydim ritzei, before ritzei. Why? So they leave earlier, before everybody starts going. They're not gonna, so people shouldn't say about them, oh, these must be blemished. When they see their brethren, the Kohanim, that are uprooting their feet, maybe they started to move to go up to the Duchon, they're not going up, so at that point, they're gonna make a bad name already. So they leave even before the spot where all the Kohanim start leaving. They leave earlier than that, so nobody should talk bad about them. And also this reason, Afa Psulim, the Nesis Kapayim Shalim Achmas Pekamam. We'll see later on, those that are not fit to do Nesis Kapayim, not because of their blemish, Yoytzim Beis HaKnesses Mishas HaDoichon, they go out from the shul at the time they go up to the Duchen, so they shouldn't say that they're pegumim. Sometimes a person is blemished because not a fault of their own. They were born to a marriage in which the Kohen, his father, was married to a divorcee. He wasn't allowed to, but he was married to him. So that's not his blemish. So that's a blemish. So people will talk about him that he's blemished. Okay, but he is blemished, so there's nothing going, nothing to worry. But we're talking, sometimes a Kohen can go up because of his own blemish. We'll see the various different situation which the Kohen himself can't go up. But people will start thinking that they're not going to know that he's not, that he has a blemish, that he can't go up. Why? They'll place it on the fact that maybe his parents are blemished. And therefore, he tells them also to leave earlier at the time. At the time they're going up, at the time of, so they shouldn't say that they are actually blemished, that their lineage is not proper. You know, so a coin has its advantages, but it also has a pain. You know, you have to have, there's a lot more restrictions. You know, that's why. But for a Kohen to go through a divorce is a hard thing, because then he has to find himself a wife who's never been married. Can't marry somebody who's married, a Kohen.
Kohen who marries a divorcee, the marriage is considered legal.
It's legal. In other words, the child will be legitimate. If you marry somebody who is, let's say, out of wedlock, you know, or let's say she was married, a woman that was married to another man, then she goes, has a child with another person, that child will be considered a mamzer, a bastard. That's not a kosher legitimate. You can't marry into a Jewish family in that case. But in a case of a Kohen marrying a Gerusha, that child is a legitimate child. He could marry, he disqualified from Kohuna, he's no longer considered a full Kohen, but he's still a legitimate child in the sense that he could get married to anybody who he wants. You know, it's not going
to
be that.
If it was a girl born, would a Kohen boy be able to marry her?
If she what? If she was what?
If a little baby born
was a girl.
Yes. And
she would also be a Chalola. Also not. The Kohen could not marry her.
Well, Kohen could not marry.
Marry also, but the Chalolo.
So if it's a boy, what's the classification?
What?
Still a Kohen?
No.
Yeah, but he has, for various things, he's a Kohen Pogum. He's a blemished Kohen.
So he doesn't get the rights.
Right.
Doesn't get the rights. So we'll see.
When he gets an Aliyah, can he get an Aliyah?
Not as a Kohen.
A Kohen that...
So when you call him, if he gets called for the Torah, how does he get called?
No, he just called without calling, adding the word Kohen. Just like a regular Israelite. He forfeits his rights for the Kohuna.
He forfeits his title.
His title.
It's like a royal...
Yeah, but it's more than that. He's in violation of a Torah command. But minimally, you know, and like I said, I don't know which rabbi is going to perform marriage when it's an illegal marriage, but... It happened. It does happen, you know. I mean, technically, the rabbi who's presiding over that marriage, if then, but I mean, you don't need a rabbi to get married. You know, you can marry. You can marry without a rabbi.
Not civilly.
You need. I mean, halachically.
Oh, halachically.
Halachically, you have two witnesses there, and they you give her a ring, and you say Arat Mukadeshesli, and then you live together. That's a husband and wife. And that's it. The rabbi is just presiding. I mean, there's additional things, you know, of course. But technically, you know, go to the chuppah, you know, I mean, the canopy, there's various different stages, but I'm saying generally that's enough to make a marriage.
You know, in royalty in the British Empire, the king or the future queen was not allowed to marry a divorced person.
Did not marry what? A divorced person? That's maybe
that's
the same.
That's why Edward VII had to abdicate the throne. He was king, and he was going to marry a divorced woman. He had to abdicate the throne.
Okay, so now he says,
she was divorced. That was the problem.
But still, if they didn't go out from the shul when the shliach tzibur said kohanim, and even people told them to go up. So in other words, they were called up. We're talking about kohanim. They are blemished. They're not disqualified from the Torah. We're talking about afilu ein psulim divrei sofrim. Even if their disqualifications only from the rabbis, we'll learn later on what disqualifications is. And therefore, now you're calling them from the Torah to come up, and they're not going up because they have a disqualification from the rabbis. Still, you don't go up. Again, same issue like before. So now you have a blemish from the rabbis. So, but from the Torah's perspective, you're good. You're good to go. And they're calling you up and they're telling you Kohanim, or somebody's telling you on the side, go up. So you have an obligation from the Torah to go up now. But the rabbi says you can't go up, you don't go up. As we learned before, the Chachomim have the power to uproot a Torah matter by telling you sit and don't do. That they have that power. To abstain. They don't have a power to go against the Torah, but they have the power to tell you abstain and don't go, because that's what the rabbis do. Fikoch, einar klum. So in the end of the day, he tells you, you're actually not violating anything. Since the rabbis have the power to stop you, and they stopped you, so it's not the pshat, it doesn't mean, at the end, the rabbi adds a few words here. So it doesn't mean, oh, I'm in violation of the Torah, but I have no choice because the rabbi stopped me. But that means that you're not violating anything. Since the reason you're not, who's preventing you? The rabbis are preventing you. So you're not violating anything because you can't go up. You'd go up. If it's up to you, you'd go up. But it's not. The decision is not up to you. The decision is up to the rabbis. The rabbis have the power to override and say, no, don't go up. So if the rabbis say, don't go up, so then you end up not violating anything. Yes, that's the oral law.